At this time, I'd like to ask Vice President Avijit Ghosh to present the financial report to the board.
Thank you, Trustee Edwards. Good morning, trustees. My presentation today is to provide you with a summary of our fiscal year 19 finances for the year. But before I start, I do need to make a disclaimer. These, what I'm going to present to you, are unaudited preliminary results and therefore are discussion purposes only and not for any official statement. First thing I want to show you is a summary of our financial picture for last year, and I have shown this both with including payments on behalf and excluding payments on behalf. And the thing to note, perhaps, is the third row from the top, which shows our income before interest, depreciation. This is an EBITDA kind of notion. And that was a $570 million. But then our net position is $377 million for the year. And this is what, if you look at it historically, it is bringing us back to a normal state of financial affair after the few years of disruption that we had with the state budget. We are coming back to the normal state. Now you might say, well, FY18, we had a larger net position change, but in FY18 was a peculiar year in the sense that we had one-time revenues that were booked for FY18, and if we take that out, it is where our normal typical state of net position change has been historically. Now, I should note that this is the fund. The net position change is what allows us to fund our capital programs, our strategic initiatives. So this is not just free money. These are all committed towards some major strategic initiative that we are undertaking. This shows a change in net position by unit. One of our strengths really is the diverse sources of revenue that we have. We have no one source contributing more than 25%, and that gives us a very strength to our financial picture because we are not dependent on one individual, one single source. And you can see tuition is still one of our largest one, 23%. Patient care has been growing. It's become the second largest source of our programs, but this includes both the hospital as well as our clinics and our other activities in the patient care area. I would like to take a moment and talk a little bit about payments on behalf because that always creates a lot of questions amongst folks about how that is accounted for. Payments on behalf, as you know, is the funds that the state pays on our behalf for our employee pension and health care benefits. Okay. It shows up in our financial results both as a revenue and as an expense. So it's self-correcting in that sense. So it really doesn't affect our true bottom line, but it does affect what we show as our revenue and our expense. And so when the amount of payments on behalf changes, it automatically changes our revenues and our expenses because of how the state is making the payments for the year. One of the problems that it creates is any kind of comparison of trends over years. If we try to compare our revenue over the years, if the payments on behalf number has changed, our revenue numbers will also change. And you can see what has happened in FY18 and 19. Our FY19 revenues are significantly lower than FY18. Now, that does not mean that we did less business or we had less activity. It is simply because the payments on behalf, as you can see, was reduced by 38%. And the reason it has been reduced by 38% is because we have engaged in a lot of discussions with them in about how exactly our share of payments on behalf are allocated to us. And as a result, they're correcting some of the ways in which these payments on behalf were allocated to us, and that's why you see this change. But again, as I said, it does not really reflect the level of activity that we are doing or the tuition that's been connected and things like that, okay? Now, even if we, even without the payments on behalf, our revenue did go down a little bit this year because of that one-time effect that we had in FY18. We had about $364 million of additional revenue, which was meant for 2017 but was given to us in 2018. Therefore, you'll see a lower. Okay. If we look at the real activities, then where has the revenue changes been? The two areas where revenue has really grown, sponsored programs and the hospital. On the other hand, tuition did not change. It's essentially our tuition collection in FY19 is basically the same as it was in 2018. So one of the points that to be noted here is that both sponsored programs and the hospital are restricted accounts. Money from there does not flow into our general operating revenue, which is used for the academic enterprise. So in a sense, an academic enterprise still depends on tuition and state appropriations. So if the tuition revenue does not grow, you don't have additional resources for the academic enterprise. And that's something that we need to be keep in mind as we move along. This shows us the revenue by unit, and we have both noticed Chicago as both in the hospital as well as the rest of the rest of UIC. I think it's also interesting to see the five-year trends in our different revenue sources. And you can see over the 5 years, the tuition revenue has grown by 9%. The largest growth has been in the hospital, the 24% growth in the last 5 years. Sponsored program has grown. State appropriation has been up and down, as we all know. Private gifts have grown 15% over the five-year period. And the total revenue for us has grown by 9%, okay? This is total revenue without counting payments on behalf. If we think about our two major important revenue sources, tuition and sponsored programs. This shows the division across the three universities. If you look at the operating expenses, the story here has been a very disciplined expense control in our expense side, okay? Instruction is still the largest expense function when you look at it in terms of the different functions that we perform. Instruction accounts for 26.5% of our expenses. Now, if you look at it in a functional aspect, then compensation and benefits is our largest growth. That's 53% of all our expenses are accounted for compensation and benefits. If you compare to fiscal 19 to fiscal 18, our operating expenses increased by only 1.8%. And our compensation expense increased by only 0.3%. And our CPI was about 1.6%. So people throughout the enterprise has been very disciplined in controlling expenses. We had a positive cash flow for the year. And our daily cash on hand has reached 220 days of cash in hand. This has slowly improved since the 2016 mark. I think this is an interesting graph to look at or a chart to look at. It shows our five-year cumulative trend. Over the last 5 years, we have grown our number of students by 11%. Our sponsored programs have grown by 6.4%. Patient care volume has grown by 7%. And our total revenues have grown only by 9.4%. And our expenses, operating costs, has grown by 6.6%, where the cumulative price inflation has been above that at 7.3%. So there's a good news story and a bad news story there. The good news story is we have control our expenses, but what we need to be careful about is that we have to think as to whether we can keep continuing to grow our activities without investing. We have to be careful that we are not under-investing in things that we need to do as we grow our activities. More students, more patients, more sponsored programs. We need to ensure that. So overall, the story here is one of providing access with affordability, and in President Killeen's word, excellence with scale. At the same time, efficiency with very great discipline about how we invest our resources. So that's a very brief summary. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Avijit. Ray?
I have one. Thank you, Avijit, for the presentation. It's great. If you could just kind of go back a second and look at the revenues. So and maybe kind of walk us through how this works. But the revenue for tuition revenue over the 5 years has gone up 9%, but the number of students has gone up by 11.2%. How do we rationalize that?
Well, this is the net tuition revenue, okay? So as you have more students, they bring in more tuition, but we're also increasing our financial aid and tuition waivers and other aspects. So when you look at the net, even though we had more students in FY19 compared to 18, the tuition revenue actually did not increase. Okay.
Quick question, Avijit, on the change in net position 5-year trend slide. If you go back there, I just wanted to clarify one thing, that one there. So you said that one-time revenue of $368 million was essentially catching up to for revenue that was supposed to have come in FY17. Should we also assume that it's really revenue that's catching us up for revenue in 17 and 16, or is it?
It was the way it was watered is that it was for FY17 expenses, but was paid to us in FY18, but we chose not to apply it go back and redo and apply it to FY17. We just took it as an additional funding in FY18.
I get that. So what about the 16? Was there never a conversation about catch-up revenue?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So in 16, it was a little over $400 million that we never got. Okay, and we have tried to engender conversations about whether we should count that as a receivable. We'll get it in the future, but there has been no indication of making up for that lost revenue.
Thanks for the clarification.
Rick, my understanding is that about $400 million is never coming back to the university, and that's what happened to us in the state budget crisis, and luckily our institution has the strength to handle that. Other institutions in the state are not as well capitalized, but it's a fundamental outcome of the state budget crisis and not one that we want to see repeated here in the state of Illinois, that's for sure.
Mr. Chairman, just one additional comment. If there's any positive thing that came out of that budget stalemate is the fact that the leadership stepped up and really, controlled expenses and really looked at how to run the university more efficiently. And so I really commend, the President Killeen and Avijit and his predecessors and getting us through that. And so it's the only bright spot in that stalemate is that.
Agree. Ed?
I just would echo what you're saying. My term as chair started in the middle of 15 and went to the middle of 17. I vividly remember all of this. And President Killeen and to the chancellors and the whole group, what you all did to get through that process to accept the fact that $400 million wasn't coming back, you did major things. And I think we can all learn from that. And I think, Avijit, your comment about having discipline and managing costs and dealing with that process, there's a great story there for how we got through it, but also as a reminder of how we need to operate in the future. Very well done. But I remember that vividly.
And I would really like to thank all the people across the university, the deans and the department heads, who had to really do the hard work in making sure that we were able to come through those difficult times.
I'd like to just make one final comment. I think, Avijit, you alluded to this, which is we've held our costs growth below our enrollment growth. That can't go on forever without having a deleterious impact on the quality of education and the life of our students. And if you triangulate your presentation with presentations we've had from Vice President Wilson in the past about our student-teacher ratio, I think the board has been very consistent that it's time that we invest in our faculty and in faculty growth to make sure that we don't, as I said, have a deleterious impact on the educational experience of our students, and we keep growing, or we start to grow that faculty in line with our student population growth. And I think the board's been very clear on that. We look for, I know the administration is working hard to start to accomplish that goal.
Exactly. And that's why I said it's both a good story and a difficult story in terms of the trend. Yeah.
Thank you, Avijit.
Final comment.
Oh, go ahead, Rick.
I was also here in 16 and then gone in 17. That's why I was asking the question about 18 to try to understand what happened. I mean, as hard as it is to believe, I wasn't keeping up with all of the University of Illinois finances during my leave. But it really goes to Tim's conversation earlier in his presentation that we, in spite of all the challenges that we were having at that time, the university figured out a way not only to survive but thrive. So I want to thank everybody at the university for all that hard work and point to the one of the slides that he had, Tim, again. And now we can invest $60 million in experts in critical disciplines moving forward. So again, tremendous work done even during these difficult times. So thank you.
Thanks, Ray.